Would you stand with us as we read the word together this morning, please? Turn with me in your Bibles or on your touch on your screens, on your phones, your Bible apps, or you can look on the projector. We're going to be reading from Philippians chapter 3. The entire chapter, so make yourself comfortable. In the NLT, second edition reads as follows, first edition, the original. Whatever happens, dear brothers and sisters, may the Lord give you joy. Never get tired of telling you this. I never get tired of telling you this. I'm doing this for your own good. Watch out for those dogs, those wicked men and their evil deeds, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we worship God in the Spirit, are the only ones who are truly circumcised. We put no confidence in human effort. Instead, we boast about what Christ Jesus has done for us. Yet I could have confidence in myself if anyone could. If others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. For I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I've been born in a pure-blooded Jewish family that is a branch of the tribe of Benjamin. So I'm a real Jew if there ever was one. What's more, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. And zealous? Yes. In fact, I harshly persecuted the church and I obeyed the Jewish law so carefully that I was never accused of any fault. I once thought all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I may have Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count my own goodness or my ability to obey God's law, but I trust Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. As a result, I can really know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I can learn what it means to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, so that somehow I can experience the resurrection from the dead. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers and sisters, I'm still not all I should be. But I'm focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. I hope all of you who are mature Christians will agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must be sure to obey the truth we have learned already. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. For I've told you often before, I say it again with tears in my eyes, that there are many whose conduct shows they are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Their future is eternal destruction. Their God is their appetite. They brag about their shameful things. And all they think about is this life here on earth. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. He will take these weak mortal bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like His own, using the same mighty power that He will use to conquer everything, everywhere. We thank You, Father, for these precious promises. We thank You, God, that to those who have dared to believe You, these are so much more than mere words printed in a book or reflected on a screen. This is the word that is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword that brings life. This is the word that's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart of man and reveals to us who we really are and encourages us to become more like You. This is Your word that You say You're watching over to perform, so that it achieves the fruit of salvation in our lives. And as we gather around and in Your presence today, at the table that You've prepared before us in the presence of our enemy, Thank you that there's an abundance of living bread for all those who hunger and thirst. An abundance of living water for all those that would partake of it this morning. So this morning, Lord, we want to come and feast on your word. We want to eat till we're full, Lord. And we want to drink till we are overflowing so that we have to give to those who wait outside the doors of this building. And to the praise and glory of your name, Lord God, may we leave this place more like Jesus than when we came here this morning. In your name we pray. And the people of the Most High God said, amen and amen. Bless you. You may be seated. Turn to somebody around you and just greet them. Somebody that's looking a little bit down. Somebody that needs encouragement. Say, who's it, my bra? Hello, da. Mensen wat ek nie ken nie. Welcome. How's it? Hello. Bye, welcome. Hello. Say, my brother. I trust that by the grace of God, if you're not smiling now, you'll be smiling at the end of the service. And if not, we've got a team of ticklers waiting for you outside. Hulle gaan jou kielie pink en jou kielie bakke totdat jy lag en giggel en glimlag. Because laughter is medicine for the soul. And by looking at you, some of you need lots of medicine. But fortunately, praise God, Dr. Jesus is in the house. Hallelujah! Woohoo! I'd like to recap what we spoke about last week. And I've been meditating on the words that God is laying on my heart. I'm like, dear Lord, does it have to be such serious stuff? And God is just, keep on, son, just keep on, keep on. You just keep preaching as I keep speaking, so here we go. Last week, if you weren't here, we spoke about having the courage to die and counting the cost of what it takes to get the gospel message across. We looked at the fact that it is required for us to figuratively lay down our lives and lay down your dreams and aspirations and let go of the dreams that God has given you to fulfill His dream. Because God is the dream giver, gives you a dream, and when you're willing to let it go and release it back to Him and die to it, then He gives it to you and allows it to come to pass. And if you're willing to lay down your dreams for fulfillment of God's dream and His dream of having all mankind one back to Him, it's going to take sacrifice and commitment. We have to lay down your life and sometimes, if necessary, even physically, literally, lay down your life. Having the courage to die for the cause of Christ. And this morning along those veins, I want to look at something very similar, but having the courage, our theme is courage, the 10th message on courage, courage to endure. Everybody say endure. Endure what? Here's the thing. So, we have need of endurance, the scripture says. I've been told that millennials are the folks that are born between 1981 and 1986. 81 to 96. I'm told that millennials, how many of you fall in that category? You were born between 81. Lord Jesus, please send more. Please send more millennials. Please send more millennials. They have an amazing outlook on life because they have to fix the mess that we're leaving behind for them. They have to face a world where it's no longer he, she, it's he, she in between. And you can decide, you can change your gender preference from day to day. They have to deal with that. So they're special people. So the millennials, are told, are facing a unique challenge in the workplace in the sense that millennials are exposed more often than most to the situation then where you get rewarded and given an accolade and a prize and a trophy and a medal just for participating in something, whereas you didn't even achieve first, second, third place or a significant result. And I experienced that. I participated in the Sarnie to See mountain bike event, and I got a medal just for participating, regardless of the fact that I came 500 and something out of 1,500 people. Here's your medalia, cray for you. So the millennials have this sense of expectation where you get rewarded for doing nothing significant. Die probleem daarmee is jy werk dan dag op in die koöperatiewe wêreld and you expect to be rewarded and dan wil jy vergoed word just because you pitched and you haven't done jack for the day. Hello. They have an expectation of being rewarded for doing nothing. Hoe werk dit dan? Nou, commend a person for participation, great, and you're a winner just because you participated. But the scripture speaks about receiving a certain prize after having done a certain something. Can you say amen? And what God, I believe, wants His church to understand, that as Christians, as believers, the life of a Christian is going to demand sacrifice and hard work and endurance, eito vermoë, and vasbyt and tenacity and grit. Five of you are excited about that. And somehow the church has gotten to believe that, no, you know, it must be plain sailing, this whole thing called Christianity and follow Jesus. That's not the full gospel. It's not the full gospel. Because the scripture says the following. Our mission and our vision is to bring the unchurched in the family of, into the family of God to advance His kingdom. That's our vision. But our mission is going to require us to endure hardships along this amazing journey. We're going to have to endure hardships. So if somebody told you, just give your heart to Jesus, maanskyn en rose wag vir jou, sonskyn, that's a lie, because it's the partial truth and not the whole truth. So we're called to so much more, folks. And what is it exactly that we're called to? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. Endure suffering, the New King James says. Endure hardship. The NLT says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. That's Paul's letter to young Pastor Timothy. Endure suffering with me as a good soldier of Jesus. Not sluit aan by 'n kerk and live your best life now. No. Endure suffering as a soldier of Christ Jesus. How many of you, don't raise your hands, are up to that task and are willing to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. I said, don't raise your hands. Met luister as ek praat. I'm just kidding. It's so easy to say, we put up here because it's lekker hier, so there's a lekker atmosphere. But let's hit the demon-infested real world out there where the rubber meets the tar. And then let's see how many of us are willing to keep our hands up and say, I'm willing to suffer for the cause of Christ, even if it means I have to lose my life and breathe my last. Kom ons kyk dan hoeveel bereid is om dan hulle hande dan op te steek. Come on. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life. Don't raise your hands again. Don't raise your hands. Die Here sien jou hart. I'm not impressed by you raising your hands. I love you. It says, all those who desire to live godly in Christ, in yourself, do you desire to live godly in Christ, or you just want the lack of benefits of the promises of the Bible? All those who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. These are the kind of scriptures that we wish weren't even in the Bible. Can you say amen? Nee, hierdie gedeelte hou ek nie van nie. Skeer hierdie bladsy uit. The one about blessing and prosperity and daai goed, ja, that we highlight and we memorize. But the ones about suffering for the cause of Christ, nee, let's just turn past that, shall we? You see, because the challenge with the modern church today, well, people in other churches, not in Bikers Church, you want the gifts and the goodies that in the hands of the giver instead of the giver. What's in it for me, Lord? And if God doesn't answer your prayers and doesn't act like a 24-hour emergency chemist and play Father Christmas, then vip jy jou. Dan vip jy jou. Then suddenly, God verantwoord my gebede nie. Like, where are you, God, when I needed you? And God is like, okay, like, where are you when I needed you to lay down your life, Subiki, to get my message across? And then you have the sense of entitlement. People in other churches, not you guys. All of heaven's power can work through us if we let it. If we let it. It's not a guarantee. All of heaven's power can work through us if we let it. Folks, I'm at a stage in my life and in my short little walk with Jesus in 2019 where I realize more clearly than ever before, we need supernatural, Holy Trinity power to be the norm in our lives if we're going to build anything that's of significance. Did you get that? We need Holy Trinity power if we're going to build anything of significance. You see, because it's easy to bless people. It's easy to bless people. Just preach a feel-good message every Sunday and the people will feel good. But to build something of lasting significance is going to cost so much more. And we need Holy Ghost power to be the norm in our lives. We need to live naturally supernatural lives and live supernaturally natural. There's a balance in that, folks. Nou, ek weet nie waar jy is in jou lewe nie, nê. But to face what we're facing in deepest, darkest Africa, hierdie plek wat nie vir sissies is nie, you can't be a wishy-washy, yellow-livered, spineless wimp of a plastic Christian that wants to play church on Sunday and go undercover in the week. When you want to function to retain popularity with a certain group of friends and circle and keep your reputation, you're going to achieve stuff that's of lasting significance. But it's going to be rubble and hay and straw that's going to burn. And it's going to be lasting significance in the kingdom of darkness, because it will be recorded that that's what you went down for in history. And to live at that level of power, we need everything that heaven has. And we have the ability to, in accordance with our obedience, have supernatural power working in and through us. I don't know about you, but I want all that God has to offer. I want everything that God has in store for me. Colossians 1:29, Paul says, "That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me." What's he talking about there? He's talking about the challenges of ministry, the challenges of getting the message across. And he says, "That's why I work so hard. I want to get this message across to you folks because I know what it has done to me. That's why I work so hard at this. I work hard at this with Christ's mighty ability which works within me." If we're longing for the resurrection power of Christ to work in us and through us, we have to partake of His suffering also. I so wish I learned that much, much earlier in my walk with Jesus, because I like supernatural stuff. I really do. And I get to see and I get to hear all the great things that Jesus did and the amazing things that His disciples did and the people of the Bible. And then I get to meet a person year or two in my life that does amazing things for the Lord. And I'm like, wow, this is good. This is something that can be of benefit to somebody that wants to follow Jesus. And then I get to realize that to be able to experience the resurrection power of Jesus, we need to partake in the suffering of Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3, there's two of the most powerful prayers that I know that the Apostle Paul prays over believers. And in those chapters, it speaks about that God will allow the same mighty power to work in you which He used to raise Jesus from the dead. How many of you would like to have that resurrection power at your disposal? Some of you are like, indifferent. That's okay. It's your prerogative. I don't know about you, but I'd like to go. I served as a detective for 16 years. And I'd like to be able to go into the home of a family that's been a victim of a violent crime, where their loved one has been senselessly murdered, and say, "In the name of Jesus, get up and walk," so that God can receive the glory. That's why. Not to own a few spiritual tricks, but to be able to defeat the works of the devil, to destroy the works of the devil. That's why I want resurrection power. I want resurrection power so that I can go to a grieving mother who's had to say farewell to a 22-year-old baby, who's inconsolable with mere human words, who's looking for answers on earth that only heaven can give. And I'd like to be able to go to that mother and say, "Here's your child. He lives." I'd like to have that resurrection power so that I can go to a businessman who spent his entire life working harder than most people can even conceive possible, who's on his fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh attempt at making a successful business. He's done everything right in God's eyes, and yet it's somehow still not working. I'd like to be able to go to him with resurrection power and say, let the life of Jesus impart a release of blessing and anointing to you so that you can be a source of blessing to your family and to others in need and experience the resurrection, life, and power of Jesus in a battling business. That's why I'd like this resurrection power. I'd like to be able to walk into the United Nations that the scripture describes as when the world makes their plans and they have no answer because they're clueless. They are clueless. They're some of the most educated people on the planet, but they are as stupid as they come because they think that they have the answers to things that only God Almighty can fix. That's known as the United Nations of the world. I'd like to be able to go into the United Nations of the world and with the resurrection power of Jesus Christ say that my God, the God who sent Jesus, has the answer to world peace and poverty. The answer to world peace and poverty. That's resurrection power. Because Jesus says the poor will always be amongst you. Folks, we don't have the answer to poverty. We don't have the answer to poverty. That's resurrection power. So I ask again, how many of you would like the resurrection power of Jesus in your life? Substantially more. Yeah. The resurrection power that when the hele hel breek los in your lewe, you're like the walking dead. You're longing for death, but it doesn't come. I'd like to be able to go to you and say, peace be upon you. The peace of Jesus be upon you. And you experience supernatural peace. That's supernatural power. That's resurrection power. I want that to be the norm in our lives. Anybody with me on this? Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. That opening passage, I want to concentrate on this verse, 10 and 11. We opened with this passage. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another I'll experience the resurrection from the dead. Paul had this thing that he wanted to deal with, and this concept of death, because to some, death seems to be the biggest challenge to overcome, to some. And the Apostle Paul wanted to experience victory over the seemingly insurmountable obstacle called death. And he wanted to live in complete victory that there is in Christ. For some, the final enemy, as it's known, is like death. No, what now? Ons staar ons dood, aan hierdie phenomenon van die dood. What now? And Paul's like, you know, if I could die, then I could experience the resurrection power that Jesus' physical body experienced when he was raised from the dead. Then I can just overcome this thing called death as well. You see, he wanted the whole package. Not just the fact that Jesus ensured his salvation and eternity in his glorious home in heaven, but he realized that he needed to be a partaker of that suffering as well. You see, Paul was prepared to pay the price, folks. And us? To receive an experience and be entrusted with that kind of power, there's a price that needs to be paid. I participated in the Sony to see. I trained from January, was it this year? Yeah, from January this year till May. And I paid a price. There's a price to be paid. But the O's that won the race, the price they paid was substantially more. Substantially more. Because they were willing to pay the price. I wasn't. I competed for fun. Not to win a prize. The O's that entered that event had a specific goal and a purpose in mind. To get that prize. They had to pay a higher price. So what price are we willing to pay as believers to be entrusted with that power? Are we willing to pay the price? I don't like how quiet this church is becoming. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to 36 says, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember that the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance. Everybody say patient endurance. Patient endurance is what you need now. So that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that He has promised. So in Hebrews 10, 35 and 36, He says, you need patient endurance now. Why? In chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews goes on to explain, and it was preached so beautifully at a funeral I attended on Friday, Pastor Vian from River of Life shared on this. Chapter 11 describes what's known to some people as the chapter of the heroes of faith. These are people that have achieved great things in their life through faith. And it goes on to describe people that achieved answers to prayer, radical answers to prayer in their lifetime. And it goes on to describe people that never achieved answers to prayers in their lifetime. But they still endured faithfully till the end. Because somehow they knew that what they experience in this life, whether the prayers are answered or not, whether you experience success or not, provision or not, abundance or not, this life here is not the most important thing. What happens when our spirits leave this fleshly tent is the most important thing. And we have need of endurance when we need to remind ourselves of that. Mense volhard. Moenie tou handdoek ingee nie. Moenie die tou los nie. Vasbyt. Dig your heels in. Grit. Have tenacity. Endurance. Keep on keeping on. When all else seems it's not worthy, jy moes al lank al opgegee. Keep on keeping on. Because the reward that waits for you on the other side of your patient endurance far outweighs any issue that you could possibly experience in this little thing called life. In terms of eternity, what's the oldest human being that has ever lived? I think 120 something. I don't know. Years ago, people used to live a lot longer because the atmosphere was better, there was less stress, they ate better, they had the best of everything, and they lived longer. And then we came along with all our ideas, and now with modern medication and stuff, the tendency seems to like be longer again. But in terms of eternity, let's say you live to see 120. Dear Lord Jesus. Yeah. I know some 90-year-old people that got better eyesight than me. They can hear properly. You shake their hands and they've got a firm handshake because they've just lived a different life. Let's say you live to be 120. In terms of forever, how significant is 120, sir? Ma'am? How significant is 120? And then we spend so much time focusing on making this here significant. It's not, it's insignificant. In terms of anything else except the following. This time here is significant in terms of the choice you make as to where you want to spend the rest of eternity. You see, because this, however long you live, is the chance that you're given to say, yes, Lord, I will follow. That's the chance that you're given. Only this chance. You're not going to get a second chance once your spirit has left your body and you stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ and the book of life is opened in front of Father Abraham and they're looking for your name and it's not there. You say, sorry, Lord, I was busy. Ek het vergeet. Oops! So reincarnation is not true. No, in spite of Jan van Riebeeck coming back as coffee, it's not true. Jy het jou kans gehad, pal. Jy het jou kans gehad. This is it. This is the real deal. This is the time that you have to say yay or nay to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no second chance. Therefore, this time is significant. Apart from that, little else counts for much. Can you say amen? So here we go. They saw that somehow God's got a bigger and a better plan in the end. They saw that. Daarom was het nie eindelijk vir hulle belangrik of my gebede is geantwoord of het nie geantwoord is nie. The fact is that they had faith in God who promised them so much more. Go meditate on that passage of scripture in Hebrews chapter 11 and see how it ends. Here's this. A life filled with difficulties from living for and living like Jesus will always bear more rewards than a life of luxury without Jesus. I'm going to say it slowly. You didn't seem to get too excited about that. So here goes. A life filled with the difficulties of living for Jesus and like Jesus will always bear more rewards than a life of luxury without Jesus. I dare you to prove him wrong. I dare you to prove him wrong. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 10 to 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 to 12. And then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens. It has come at last! I can imagine what John the Revelator heard and saw. God gave Jesus the revelation and the Lord sent his angel to John on the Isle of Patmos. Imagine what it was like for John on this island. Exiled there to this island. And he hears this loud voice. It has come at last! Salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth. The one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they've defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in heavens, rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time. Hallelujah. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the completed work at the cross of Calvary. Maar het eindig net nie dan daar nie. Dit eindig nie daar nie. Soveel mense het hulle gehuisves by die voete van die kruis en het nie eens een tree gevat om die koninkryk binne te tree nie en te beklee. You're camping at the foot of the cross. And you're born again and that's it. But you start living the life of plundering hell and populating heaven and embracing the kingdom of God that he has for you. You still need to take that step. You still need to grow into what God has promised for you. And it says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And some people are at the blood of the Lamb portion. It says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Their testimony there is not just your conversion story. When you first gave your life to the Lord at an altar call and you had geheil. And your testimony is the follow me part of following Jesus every day of your life. One step of obedience at a time. That's your testimony. Because the greatest testimony you could ever have that will speak more volumes than the best sermon ever preached is your lifestyle that's lived out for Christ. How you are at home, with your family, with your loved ones, with your spouse, with your children, with your colleagues, and especially with your enemies, with your haters, with your persecutors. Your testimony towards them is the one and the thing that overcomes the accuser of the brethren. Who's the accuser? Satan. His name was Lucifer. It became Satan, which means accuser. He starts accusing you. Yeah, but you did this, and you did that, and you're never good enough. And day and night accusing you before God. And sadly, some Christians continuously believe his accusations because they don't yet know who they are in Christ Jesus. But when you realize that Christ sees you washed in his blood, he sees you made in his image. He sees you redeemed. He sees you justified, just as if I'd never sinned. He sees you there. The devil can come and lie to you and tell you, warra, 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 and you say, yes, that's in the past. It's dealt with by the blood of Jesus. God has forgotten it, and I tell you to shut up in the name of Jesus. I'm born again. I'm spirit-filled. I'm healed. I'm forgiven. I'm called by God, and I'm going to teach till all know and give till all have. You can say what you want, devil, because God who's in me is greater than you that's in the world. That's what it's about. That's how you overcome the accuser of the brethren. By the blood of the Lamb and the power of your testimony. Your life. You're not born again just to have some fire insurance. He paid the price on the cross for you so that you can live like him and live for him the rest of the days of your life. Not to play church. Not to play church and appease your conscience. Ek het my Christelike daad gedoen vir die jaar. Ek was hierdie maand kerk toe. Hallelujah. Catch a wake up in love. Can you sense my love? Hallelujah. Folks, it's time. It's time. The world, listen, we family here. Can I be real with you this morning? The world is fed up with wishy-washy people who talk the talk and don't walk the walk. They're fed up with the Church of Jesus Christ misrepresenting him. They fed up with people who confess one thing and live something completely different. They fed up. They want to see real men and women of God who live like Jesus. It's time. It's time. It's time. The devil is desperately trying to discourage God's family from enduring till the end. Give up. Dis nie moeite werd nie. He's whispering sweet nothings in your ear, and they're not sweet nothings of encouragement. He's telling you to give up. Quit, man. Look at God. He's not answering your prayers anyway. God has favorites. He's answering other people's prayers, but he's not answering your prayers. Give up on him. I sense in my spirit God's saying, the devil's saying that to some people here. He's trying to encourage you to quit. Just give up, man. How much longer must you pray? How much longer must you try? You're giving your all and God still isn't coming through for you. Give up, man. Just give up. The devil's saying that he's a liar. He's the father of lies. That's all he can do. He's desperately trying to discourage God's people. He's not going to get it right. I said he's not going to get it right. But in Christ we're victorious. Romans 8 and verse 37. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. Despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ. The New King James says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We're more than conquerors. You see, so many people in recent history have been saying to me, Yohanet, and I'm summarizing, but their basic answer is, we're surviving. Arm madarm. What? Arm madarm. Where's Aletta? Is that Zelda? Arm madarm. They speak that over themselves. Hoe gaan dit met jou? Nee, arm madarm. Raai wat? If you keep saying arm madarm, you'll be as arm as a darm en leeg. Because jy belei dit oor jouself heeltyd. In spite of all these things, we are more than conquerors. Why a conqueror? Because we're not created to survive. So many people out there, they're surviving and they think, yay, I'm surviving. That's great. And it's lekker. It's a good place to begin. But Christ has destined you, young man, to thrive. To thrive. Om te floreer. To flourish and not just survive. Not just get by the skin of your teeth. But to win and win well and pass with flying colors. That's God's plan and purpose for you, sir. That's His plan. We're more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. 1 John 4 verse 4 says, but you belong to God, my dear children. Sure. You've already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world. As the deep end come and minister to us again this morning, I want to ask you this question. If you have need of endurance, and you need a supernatural touch from God to help you endure and to face the life that you're facing now. If you have need of endurance where you need God to help you, take the lemons that God is, that life has thrown at you and to somehow see, Lord, all I'm getting is lemons. And you need God to help you to take those lemons and to somehow work with it in such a way that you can make lemonade. You need endurance for God to just show you how He can turn a mess that you're in to a message. How He can turn a test that you're going through into a testimony. You see, if you're in the test and all you do is moan, you're never going to have a testimony. You'll be a testimony. Moan, 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 moan. If you need God to give you the ability to endure, to turn a trial into a triumph, and if you need somehow God to just give you that supernatural ability to endure, if that's you this morning, would you stand with me? Stand with me as we pray for each other. Deep End is going to minister. I want God to do what He promised us at the start of this morning. He gave us Zephaniah 3:17. And God wants to rejoice. Everybody wants endurance. Hallelujah. Well then, aren't you glad you came to church this morning? You know? I just wish I had the physical ability to reach out and touch every person. That will take some time. But God's arm is not too short. God can reach you right there where you are at in your seat to give you that very supernatural touch that you need from Him. You see, I don't have the solution to your challenge, sir, ma'am. Ek het nie die antwoorde vir jou dilemma nie. Ek het geen antwoorde nie. But I know the one who has the answer. And His name is Jesus. His name is God Almighty, Abba Father. Nie die groot baas daarbo. Iemand. His name is the great I am. Jehovah Jireh, the God of more than enough. Jehovah Shabbat, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Tzidkenu, Jehovah Rapha, your healer, your provider. All those names. He's got 32 different names. That's the one who has the answer for you this morning, church. And if you would, would you just allow the Spirit of God to touch you? Right there where you're seated. Say, God, in your own way, pray this. Continue to pray right there. This is the most important time of the sermon. As we meditate on the worship, and as we're just being praised to the Lord with worship and song, right there where you're standing, you ask God in your own way and say, Lord, I need this touch. That's what Mozzie has spoken of. Lord, I need endurance. I've wanted to throw in the towel so many times. I've wanted to give in. I've wanted to give up. The enemy, the devil, has been lying to me for so long. It has become my truth. It has become my reality. And I want you to change that, Lord. Holy Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus, as men and women cry out from sincere hearts to you this morning, would you bring the breakthrough, Lord God? And Lord, those that desperately want an answer where all you want is intimacy with them, give them intimacy with yourself, Lord. I just sense God saying to some people this morning, you want an answer for something specific where all God wants you to do is to want more of Him. Would you please stop asking for an answer and start seeking God just for the sake of Him being God? I sense God wants to restore people to a place of intimacy this morning. There's a time in your life where you walked such a close walk with God. You long for that time. You long for how you were in those days. God wants to restore you to that place this morning. God wants to restore you to a place of intimacy with Him this morning. So Lord, as we pray out to you and cry out to you from our hearts, thank you that you see our motives, Lord. You discern what's really going on inside of us, Lord. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you minister to each person this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching each heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you for that, Father. And in this attitude of prayer, I want you just to focus on God this morning. Please forget about the person around you and next to you. And don't give a second thought to what people think. If you're here this morning and you know that you don't have an intimate walk with Jesus, maybe you know that Jesus is your Savior because you believe and people have told you that He's died and risen again from the dead, and that's great. But He's not Lord of your life. That means He's not in control of everything. That means you make decisions just on your own ability, and sometimes you couldn't care less who thinks what or who says what. But you want to make decisions knowing that it pleases Jesus first and Him alone. That's when He's Lord of your life. And if you want Christ to have more control of your life than ever before, you want to make Jesus Lord of your life. Perhaps I just sense to do this. Maybe you've done that once before and you've taken control again. In terms of motorcycling, maybe Jesus is now the pillion and you the rider. You're in control. But maybe there was a time in your life where Jesus was the rider and He was in control. But you've taken that back from Him. And if you want to reverse and change that status quo, and you want Jesus to be Lord of your life again, if that's you, raise your hand. Anybody like that, raise your hand, please. His hands going up all over. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. You can put your hands down. I want to pray for you this morning. Father, we surrender. We surrender as your people. Not in defeat, but we surrender to you, and therefore you give us victory. We surrender lordship of our lives to you. Lord, we dethrone self this morning. We dethrone self this morning. We want you to take up your rightful throne in our hearts, in our lives again, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. And as you pray, you just pray this. Lord Jesus, I declare you as Lord of my life. Forgive me, Lord, for doing things my own way. Forgive me for insisting on being in charge. I want you, Jesus, to be Lord of my life. You desire to be Lord of all, or else you're not Lord at all. From this moment in time, God, I pray in sincerity, in faith. And by your grace, your Spirit will enable me to live all the days of my life with you as my Savior and also my Lord, to the praise and glory of your name, in Jesus' name. And then the second prayer I want to pray is, maybe you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. Maybe you know He's your Savior, and the Spirit of God has been speaking to your heart this morning, and you want to change, and you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity. Our only key, for want of a better word, our only entrance into eternal life is believing that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that He died and paid a price for your sins, that He rose again, repenting of your sins, repenting, taking responsibility for your own actions, asking God to forgive you, and inviting Jesus to come into your life and to take control. And if you've never done that before, and you'd like to do so this morning, you want to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life and live a life of intimacy with the Lord, if that's you this morning, raise your hand. Anybody like that this morning, please raise your hands. Several hands going up. Bless you. Bless you. You can put your hands down. Right. I want to pray for those folks, the second category. You prayed this morning and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. I want everybody's attention. You can open your eyes again and look at me. We're done praying for now. If you've made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life for the first time, I'm going to ask you to do something as bold as what Jesus did. You see, Jesus could have paid a price from heaven without anybody seeing. He could have sent an angel to fix mankind's problems. He could have allowed them to take him and bury him in a dungeon in a cave somewhere where nobody saw. But no, he done something very, very public. He allowed himself to be stripped naked, to be dragged through the streets publicly, to be spat on, to have his beard ripped out, to be slapped in the face, to have a crown of thorns forced on his head, to have nails driven through his hands and feet. He allowed himself to have a sword shoved through his side publicly. Publicly. Associating himself with us as sinners. He wasn't ashamed to say, I'll become like them, God, so that they can become like us. And this morning I'm going to ask you to take a bold step. If you raised your hands to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life for the first time, come out of your chair, come to the front. We want to pray for you immediately. Anybody like that, come. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'd like the altar workers, the folks that join us in the pre-service prayer meeting, to come up and stand behind these folks, please. Ladies with ladies, men with men. Now, please. Be a good time. I need two guys. Two guys.